Canto 13. Let him imagine, who would comprehend what I saw now, and let him hold the thought rock solid while I speak until the end. The 15 stars whose light is never caught by any barrier in all the air, shining in various regions of the sky. Let him imagine also the great bear of 7 stars, which freely turn on high around a pole with room enough to keep all visible, and add them to the score. And then let him imagine how the steep, high axle hub that caps the first wheel's core puts forth the horn where 2 more stars stand out within the little bear. Then think of these 2 dozen stars arranged and turned about all by themselves in all the right degrees into a pair of sparkling garlands spread in heaven such as Ariadne made from her wreath when she knew she'd soon be dead, and Bacchus, loving her, raised her to braid the corona borealis. As I said, one shines within the other. Both revolve in such a manner that one goes ahead, the other after. That way he can solve the problem to a small extent. He'll know the shadow of the answer, if you will, of how that constellated double flow danced round the point where I now stood stock still. It lies as far beyond where thought can go, based on experience, as does the speed and spinning of the primum mobile, behind the sluggish course through mud and reed of some tired Tuscan creek on a hot day. They sang there, not of false and pagan gods like Bacchus or Apollo, but of 3 persons in one, combined against all odds, and in one person, man and mystery. The singing circle's measure once complete, the holy lights now gave us their regard, rejoicing that they had new aims to meet. The change to unsung speech might have seemed hard, but doctrine and their song permit no choice between. The light from which I'd heard the tale of Francis the Poor, man of God, gave voice. Breaking the hush of those who never fail to make God's work their own, he spoke thus. When one sheaf is threshed, and all its grain is stored, I mean the line about the straying, then sweet charity next calls me to accord that treatment to the other. You believe the light that was infused into the breast, whence came the rib that made the whole world grieve, giving us her, whose fair face failed the test of reigning in her hunger, the same light that shone into another breast, the one the spear pierced, and which gave us, in the flight of past to future, satisfaction that far outweighs, when balanced and set right, our every fault. You think that light, which is the only light allowed to humankind, was all instilled by God, and is all His who made both man and Savior. So your mind marvels at what I said about the good contained in the 5th light not having known an equal since. When you have understood the answer you have already been shown by me, you'll see my words and your belief meet in the center of the circle where the truth resides. Of all truths, this is chief. That which dies not and that which dies are there as nothing but the splendor of our sire's idea, which, loving, he begets. Because that living light, which streaming from the fires of its bright source, is never as it pours, detached from its first well, nor from the love which, with those 2, makes 3, collects its beams through its own goodness, mirrored there above in 9 angelic orders, without seam stitched into one forever. It descends to earthly potencies from act to act, becoming such that all things have their ends in brief contingency, the fleeting fact, things generated with or without seed, produced by movements of the heavens. Since the wax of these, and that which does the deed of molding, what's imprinted and what prints are not always the same, so that the light beneath the stamp can more or less shine through. It happens that 2 trees of 1 type might bear better or worse fruit, the same with you. You're born with different talents. If the wax were perfectly receptive, and the force of heaven could run truly on the tracks of its descent, the seal would match the source in brightness. but there is a falling short by nature always, as the artist's craft comes from a trembling hand. Yet keep this thought. If the clear vision of the primal draft of power is moved by burning love, then all perfection is acquired up here. The earth was once made fit for the impeccable advent of Adam and our Savior's birth out of a virgin. Therefore, I commend your judgment when it comes to nature's lack of power ever afterwards to blend with God and bring that same achievement back. Human perfection. If I left it there and said no more, then you would say, so how was he we spoke about beyond compare? But just to clarify your mind, think now of who he was, and why, when bidden, ask, he asked for wisdom. I have not concealed my meaning with my words enough to mask the fact he was a great king who appealed for knowledge suitable to that state. He did not ask which forms of the mental moved this upper realm, how many they might be. He didn't seek to know how it is proved contingency undoes necessity when any statement harboring a doubt meets one that doesn't. He had no concern for motion without cause, nor cared about a triangle that had no room to turn inside a semicircle if without a right angle, or any of those things. He wished to know only of government. Note what I say and said, then. For the kings, it's royal wisdom that is heaven sent, an unmatched vision. There the arrow lands of my intention. It applied to those men who wore crowns and met the fierce demands of ruling in the world. Many arose. Good ones were few, and still are hard to find. Take my words thus, and they will fit the frame with what you hold already in your mind about the world's first father, and the same for our beloved. And let this be led to make your feet slow always, like a man grown weary when a yea or nay is said, and you would move as quickly as you can to either point, although your sight is dim. For he indeed is a low-ranking fool, whichever point of view appeals to him, who weighs in either way without the rule of scrutiny, since often it occurs that quick opinion swings to the wrong side, and then the sudden storm of feeling blurs the intellect. And so he breasts the tide, worse than in vain when he casts off from shore. For as he sets out, he does not return the same, who fishing for the truth is poor in patient art. And of this you can learn from minor minds that Aristotle scorned. Parmenides and others, who confused as to their course, would not be schooled or warned. And scholars like Sibelius abused their role, and to the scriptures they were swords reflecting from their blades the natural face distorted. So we should be strict towards all people when they judge at too great pace, like those who count the corn crop in the field before it's ripe. I've seen the briar show harsh through the winter, and too hard to yield when touched. And yet, when spring comes, it will grow the rose. And on the other hand, I've known a ship to cross the sea for all its course, straight as a die, swift as a hawk alone, and at the harbor's entrance, with full force, crack up and drown. Let not just anyone and his wife, Mrs. Anyone, assume, therefore, that when they witness a deed done, they can be certain of the doer's doom on the divine scale. One who robs may rise, and one who makes an offering may sink. Our judgment isn't made from just our eyes, and least of all will it be what we think when we have barely taken time to blink.